Today's program has been brought to you by Kane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit Kane5.com. On behalf of our family of hosts, staff, and the millions of listeners who have tuned in since 2009, we want to wish you happy holidays and ask for your support as we launch our daily in-house news coverage. Please consider making us a part of your end-of-year giving in 2013. Your membership donation is tax-deductible and the best way to show you believe in our work and the importance of a free, food-focused media resource. Consider donating today at heritageradionetwork.org by clicking the Donate button. Thanks for your support and enjoy the show.
All right. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. We are coming to you, as always, live from the back of Roberta's Pizza. A pretty chilly day here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You've tuned into the Farm Report, and I'm your host, Erin Fairbanks. And today we are on the line with an exciting young farmer, Hannah Beal. Welcome to the show, Hannah.
Hi, thank you.
Good to have you on. So, I'm assuming it's pretty cold where you are as well. You're just north of us a bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Tivoli, New York, which is near Red Hook in upstate New York, not Red Hook, Brooklyn, and it's freezing. It's pretty cold. I'm excited to be inside doing this interview instead of walking around outside.
Glad to give you an excuse to come in out of the cold, at least for a little bit. Now, you are the first farmer up at the Hermann's Farm, is that correct?
It is. Well, I'm not the first farmer. I'm not technically the first farmer, but I am on this land, but I am the first person to be here at this land as Hermann's Farm.
Excellent. So I want to start by getting a little bit of better picture of the farm and where you're at, and then we'll tuck into a little bit of your background. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about the land.
Sure. We are we're in a pretty rural area, we're near Bard College in Tivoli, and so we're about 3 miles away from a village, but the land itself, we have about over 100 acres of property on our farm. And of that land, we, this past season, had just over 3 acres in production, and we're hoping to expand more in the coming season.
And how long have you been on the farm?
I have been here since March, so almost, not quite a year, I guess 9 months.
9 months, awesome. So what type of production are you guys doing up there?
Well, right now, the only thing that we're really producing is eggs, because we have 200 laying hens, and they've obviously slowed down a little bit because it's getting colder. But we were doing just mixed veggies, and we also had 5 pigs, and we have some bees.
Nice. So, well, let's rewind back to March. I mean, how did you end up on the farm to begin with?
There's a really great website if you're into food called Good Food Jobs, which I'm sure you know about. And I applied to be the farm manager here, and I thankfully got the position. And so I moved up here, and I basically was just, you know, I walked around, and then the next day I just started planning,
The rest is history, so to speak.
Yeah.
So can you tell us, you know, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, the land had been in farming for quite some time. Was it also in vegetable production prior to your arrival, or was it some other type of farm?
The land, I guess, a long time ago, in like the 1700s on our property, we have one of the oldest houses in the village. And when that house was built, it was built by this Dutchman named Colonel Hermans. I'm not sure if that's how he pronounced it. But and he came here, and he, I believe that he has some sort of farming operation going here, and then it transitioned owners and was a dairy farm, and then there also was haying here, and I believe there were some vegetables, but it wasn't, wasn't like a primarily vegetable situation here, I think, until I came along.
Okay. And so, how long had it been? I mean, you said that you were the first, you know, you're the first person kind of running the farm under its current title. Was it, was it not being farmed for a couple of years before you got there? I mean, did you come into a pretty, like a pretty fresh palate, or was there kind of a transition from the previous farmers?
The previous people to like really farm here was actually Hardy Roots, who are sort of just up the road from us. Hardy Roots Farm used to lease this land, so some of the fields that we are on work in vegetable production, like somewhat recently. But what we were doing is pretty much starting with a fresh, sort of fresh palette and plowing some land that hadn't been used before and seeing what happened, pretty much.
Well, so I'm curious, like how one starts with a fresh palette to even begin to know kind of what to do. But before we talk into the specifics of what you've been doing for the last couple of months, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you got into farming and the background that prepared you for this position.
Sure. I started farming one summer when I was 16, and I lived in Washington, D.C. in high school, and my mom told me that I couldn't just, you know, hang out on the couch for another summer, and I don't really know why anybody would decide to spend their summer working on a farm when they're 16, but I decided to volunteer on an organic farm, and I found a farm after writing to many different farmers, because if you're a 16-year-old girl from the city and you write to a farm in Vermont and say, hey, I really want to come help you guys out, like that sort of almost sounds like you're going to be more of a burden than a help. So it was sort of hard for me to find someone who was willing to like take me in, I guess. But I ended up working for a month on a farm in Cabot, Vermont, which is, I don't think no longer in production. And then I pretty much fell in love with it. And in college, I went to the University of Vermont and I did environmental studies there. And sort of as I was learning more about, you know, all these food issues and also, you know, issues with, you know, our environment as a whole, and global stuff like global warming and like all those buzzwords that you hear, all the reasons to eat local food, I was sort of like, oh, farming's actually, you know, something that fits like directly into my value system. And I kept working on farms during the summers, and then when I graduated, I moved to Martha's Vineyard, where I worked as a camp counselor, farmer educator for one season, and then worked in the garden at a teaching farm there, and then was the manager of that garden. So that's a little bit about my experience. I just sort of fell into it pretty much, and I haven't really stopped.
Yeah. So, you know, when you arrived up at the farm this past March, you know, you had a variety of different, sounds like, you know, you had worked in a couple of different farms, you had done some teaching, you had been a trainee, but this was really the first time you were kind of jumping into something kind of as the kind of solo person in charge, like really making the decisions about what to do and when and where. So can you talk a little bit about things that you found surprising about that process?
Sure. Well, it's extremely surprising. I really, you know, it's just being here for 9 months and coming to a place sort of as a farmer and having that place be very new to you is just like, it's like a learning, you know, every moment is a learning moment, like every single day, every time you go outside, you if you're paying attention, which hopefully I am most of the time, you can, you know, you notice certain things, and the more you notice, the more you realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't have planted that, you know, squash plant in that really low spot because that's actually a really wet place, or, you know, just figuring out exactly what, you know, what really should go where and stuff like that. It's like, you can look, I looked at a lot of maps. I read a lot. But just being on the property and like keeping my eyes open, I think has been the most helpful. And like, just the difference between like some, you know, just putting certain things in different places, what I chose this year versus sort of what I'm hoping to do next year has definitely changed. But I also think you just have to go do it. Like, you just have to trust that if you're paying attention, hopefully taking care of your plants or your animals and giving them what, you know that they need as much as you can. You know, like, plants are designed to grow, so it's also sort of just like, let's do it and see what happens.
See what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Not that I take a cavalier approach to everything, but...
No, but at some point, you have to, like, put some stuff in the ground and see what happens.
Yeah, so, like, for example, like, creating my crop rotation was, you know, it was kind of arbitrary. I was just like, I guess this will go here because I'm just, you know, because I'm starting fresh. So in that respect, I, like, had a lot of freedom in my planning, whereas, you know, I had a lot of freedom, but also it was maybe sometimes more difficult too, because, you know, once you're in some place that has been established, there's, you know, things to go off of.
Right. So you're really starting fresh.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm just trying to imagine, you know, myself kind of like up at a space like this, and, you know, in my head, I'm like, I see myself, you know, sitting down, kind of making lists, you know, drawing little charts out and kind of checking things off and, you know, coming up with a plan. And then kind of the next step is looking at, like, what are the things you need to bring in to kind of implement the plan that you've made. So my guess would be that, you know, you need to secure kind of the seeds or the seedlings and the equipment and kind of all the gear that you're going to need to turn, like, what you have kind of on your piece of paper, your computer, your, you know, the back of your napkin into reality. So what did some of that initial kind of equipment purchasing, actual kind of seed or plant purchasing look like? And how did you know where to go for those resources?
Well, I was really lucky because we do have a tractor here, which was already on the property. So that was huge. So all of my like big equipment was here. We have a chisel plow, a rototiller, stuff like that. We did have to buy some drip irrigation and, you know, I just go online. If I don't know anything, I just, you know, just Google it pretty much. And then I ordered seeds from Johnny's and High Mowing and Fedco, and just basically, you know, put together. I just made a crop plan, put together my seed order, and got the stuff as soon as possible. And the other thing is that the biggest resource that I had was people. So my first initial month of planning is when I sort of tried to start assembling a team to, like, help me get stuff done. And they were obviously a huge resource.
Yeah, for sure. So the places that you ordered the seeds and whatnot from, those are folks that you had kind of worked with in past positions, or?
Yeah, they were. I think that, you know, Johnny's is awesome. They have, not only do they have a really, like, great selection, but they also have a really great website that has a ton of resources. So I had been going, you know, I've been looking at the Johnny's website ever since I started gardening, just because they have so much information there. So they were a resource. And then also the Fedco seed catalog, which is actually right here on my coffee table, is also really wonderful. And they have just, like, so many good, if you just if anyone who's interested in growing anything should just open a seed catalog, and like, there's nothing more inspiring than opening it up and seeing how many jillions of varieties of everything there are. And then also seed catalogs will always tell you, oh, this is how you should prepare your potatoes before you get them and stuff like that.
That sounds like a wealth of information. Well, I'm going to ask you, Hannah, to hang on for just a smidge. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your work and have you take us through the rest of the season. So hang tight. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Intrigue by Obesity on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
We are coming back. You are tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Erin Fairbanks, and you're listening to the Farm Report. We are on the line with Hannah Beal of Herman's Farm, and we have been chatting a little bit about Hannah's first season on the farm. So, Hannah, after you kind of got things going, you said you assembled a couple people to help turn the paper plan into reality. Tell us a little bit about your team.
I had a really great team. We were mostly of young people. Some people, three of them had either just graduated college, or one of the guys who worked with me was taking some time off of being in college. And then I had another person who's still here, which is awesome. Who basically helps me with everything. My assistant manager, John, who's a little bit older, so he's not like fresh out of college and had some more farm experience. But figuring out who you want to work with is like a really fun process, and it was really exciting to just to be able to talk to people there's so many people who are interested in farming, even if it's just because they've been, studying it in school, or they are like interested in having their own homestead someday, or they're just doing it to learn a little bit more about like soil science. There are all sorts of reasons why people get into it, and it was really fun to like learn from them. And also probably one of the most rewarding things this summer for me was just like being able to teach people, just basic stuff like how to set up irrigation, or like this is what this plant looks like when it's a baby, and things like that are always really fun to like be able to work with people who don't have as much experience as you and who are just like really psyched, about what's happening, and just like take their optimism and help it, like have it help you, get through like a long day of weeding or whatever.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Well, one of the things we haven't really talked about that, so I know that you found this position through Good Food Jobs, which leads me to believe that the kind of financial backing is coming from a different source. You know, this is, you're an employee of the farm. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that relationship and how that has been kind of an asset for you in this first season.
Well, the owners are really wonderful people, and they are based in New York City. So they're really part of the mission of this place is to, you know, bring fresh, like, awesome local. We're not certified organic, but we do use organic standards and just bring all of that into the city. And so it's been really, they've been like an amazing resource. They're pretty dedicated to young farmers and also, you know, keeping this land active and productive in the best way possible. So it's been, I'm pretty lucky, you know, other farmers who, you know, are doing it on their own are, you know, it's definitely a different, it's a little bit of a different ballgame. You can, you know, sometimes you can make, you know, all of the decisions yourself, and maybe that might be sometimes like an easier thing to do because it, you know, you can make a decision super quickly and then just do it. But it's really a huge asset, I think, for this place as land, and then also for like all the people who work here.
So what is the end market for the stuff that you've been producing on the farm, the vegetables, the eggs, and then that sounds like you guys probably had a little pork or maybe not quite yet.
Yeah, we did. We did have some pork, not anymore. all of our everything that we produce gets sent to New York City and is given to, well, not given, but is sold to restaurants. So one of the things that was definitely a learning curve this year was also, you know, working with chefs and then figuring out, you know, talking to them about what they really want. And then once you find out if a chef is like really passionate about one variety of something, then sometimes you have to say, okay, well, I'll, you know, file that away for next year. And then other times, depending on what it is, you can say, oh, well, I can throw those seeds in the ground and, you know, I can throw some microgreen flats, you know, together and then they could get something like microgreens pretty soon because that has a really high turnover rate. But most of our stuff does go to New York City.
So you have a little bit of like flexibility with the different products, I guess it sounds like, offer different amounts of flexibility. So maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, more specifically about what it is you chose to grow this summer and, you know, what things that maybe stood out for you in some way, whether they were particularly easy or challenging to work with, whether the demand for them was much greater, much smaller. Maybe just a little like lessons learned recap of the summer, some kind of notes that you've written to yourself as a cheat sheet when you get started next spring.
Well, I definitely had no idea how popular baby vegetables were when I started, and I just had no clue. And so I definitely, you know, making sure that next year I'm growing more baby stuff, and then also when you grow baby stuff, it's obviously you harvest it smaller, so then making your succession plantings a little bit closer together. So you can make have like a steady supply of that stuff is something that I definitely learned about. And then also just like I just had no idea of how big we really had a great response from people, and it was just it's like you know I just had no idea that because I know food is so big in New York, you know, it's just like exciting. I just always feel like when something's super trendy that people, you know, that suddenly people are going to sort of start writing off what's trendy, but they were just, you know, people are just like genuinely really excited about good food. So it's pretty fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why do you think that you were so well received? I mean, obviously you can take some credit as a grower for producing kind of beautiful vegetables, but there's lots of great farmers who sell into the city who, you know, haven't had, you know, the uptake as quickly or the success? I mean, what do you think has given you guys an edge into that space? Is there someone on your team down here in the city, or were there like relationships that existed with the owners, or what? Why is it that you think that it was such a smooth like absorption into the city for you?
Well, I definitely think having a base in New York definitely helped us. And we have a great person on our team named Safi who works with chefs pretty closely and is able to, you know, really talk to them and figure out like exactly what they're looking for. I'm not from New York, so I don't, you know, I have friends in New York and I've obviously been to New York many times, but I just think of New York as like this giant pool of people just like waiting for local food sort of. And I just think that, you know, if your stuff looks good and chefs taste it and it's fresh and it's good, I don't know why people like it. I don't know.
I'm glad that they do.
Yeah, me too.
Well, so we are just about out of time here, but I'm wondering if you might have some advice to other young folks with maybe a little bit of farming, you know-how under their belt, or maybe not at all. Like, you know, if you were looking back in time and giving, you know, advice to yourself 4 years ago, what are some things that you might have shared and that you would maybe like to send out into the ether for other folks looking to find a similar position to what you have now?
Don't get jaded, and, you know, don't, I think, you know, farming is, people like to talk, it's like easy to romanticize farming when you talk about it, but like, you know, when it comes down to it, farming is like pretty hard work, and like, I like to try to, you know, think of it as, you know, as hardcore as you can be, just, you know, get excited about how, you know, crappy your day is, basically, and, you know, feel like proud that you can push through it. And, you know, everybody has to eat, so I feel like farming, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, any sort of fruit production is extremely important.
And anything in particular you're looking forward to over the winter months, you know, perusing the seed catalogs, taking a vacation? I know that for vegetable producers, there's a little bit of a reprieve during the, you know, kind of end of December, January time frame. I'm just curious, like, what plans you might have in store?
Well, we are just currently completing the construction of 4 new greenhouses. So, I'm pretty excited to work with those. And then also we are opening a store in New York on 183 Christopher. It's going to be called Herman's Farm Purveyors, and they're going to be selling some of our produce and also some farm-to-table food there. And I'm pretty excited about that, too. So, you know, there's a lot. It's not, you know, it's a good time of year to sort of take and reflect. And, you know, I'm excited about planning, but I'm also, you know, happy that it's cold outside and that I have time to talk to people like you.
Well, we're happy too, and hopefully the shop down here means we'll get a chance to have you in the studio sometime soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
Hannah, thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. It was lovely talking to you.
Thank you so much, Erin. It was really fun.
All right. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Farm Report on the Heritage Radio Network. This, like all 30 of our live weekly shows, are available for free. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, or visit our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. If you believe in our work and the importance of a free food-focused media resource, definitely check us out by visiting the website, clicking that Donate tab, becoming a member today. Stay tuned. Next week, we got Lori Tenek coming on to talk a little bit about growing hops here in the Northeast. Should be a great show. And we will be back then. In the meantime, keep on listening and stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.